tank, you can get out of the kitchen, you can see him washing the dishes, pots, pans, you name it. And, you know, helping, like, transporting the food and all that. And, yes, it's a tiring service. You know, and I could see the sweat, you know, streaming down from the wall. But when I asked him, I said, God, you okay? It's hard work, right? He said, yeah. But then, you know, and then I'm like, oh, Lord. But then immediately, but I like it. You know, that's the spirit of the body, right? And you know what? He had to do a summer internship last year. And then, but he couldn't stand that he cannot serve during the weekday. So eventually, he, you know, asked for a couple of days off, you know, so that he can serve. Because he couldn't stand, he had to wait another year to go back and serve. Because, you know, this training is only once a year. I mean, really, thanks. You know, you can have an opportunity to check with the staff. Yes, it's a tiring, exhausting service, but it's also a very enjoyable service.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm on a college training this year, so we need someone to fill the shoes. Yes. Amen. Okay, so anything else? Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
I could do that, though. For the saints who are serving on piano, there's going to be a fellowship right after the meeting ends today. We're going to be here. And actually, this is not just, you know, if you can play the piano, but even if you have a burden to learn, yeah, I mean it. Like, if you have a willingness and desire to learn piano, we will find a teacher. Actually, she's coming back soon to teach you. And actually, there needs to be coordinators, you know, the person who stand next to the piano player to help facilitate between the meeting and the piano player. So we're going to have a fellowship during lunchtime. So please join this fellowship. We really need you. Amen.
Grab your lunch.
Grab your lunch and come here.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to split into two sections. So the young people, you'll have your lesson in the other room. And for the rest of the day, well,
before, brother, I just find out and realize that you remember the prophet Jonah, who was sent to Nineveh.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just find out that there is a town in Iraq where a lot of Christians, brothers and sisters, are right, and also a lot of brothers in Damascus. Remember when they run to Damascus, the believers, Paul had that went to persecute them. Where they have also brothers and sisters in Damascus. Now they're all being persecuted between Syria and Iraq. And we had to pray for them. Because right now they're asking for the prayers. Remember Paul was praying in Thessalonica to pray for them, for the evil ones, you know. So we had to keep them, we had to pray for those brothers. They're asking for prayers. So they're actually struggling, suffering. So let's have a minute to pray for them.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus,
amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, amen. Oh, you are so good to us.
Amen.
Have mercy on all those brothers and sisters persecuted, Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, you are so great. Cover them with your body, with your blood, Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord, let the enemy hurt them, Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, we ask all the brothers and sisters in the world to keep praying for them, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. This new a group that is arising and persecuting them, Lord, have mercy on them, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we pray for them to have the strength and the endurance to keep the hope, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we give you thanks, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Oh, please remember all chosen ones, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that you have sanctified unto yourself in the Islamic world.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, be so real to them, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, and do protect them, Lord,
yes,
from the evil one.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, grant them your wisdom, Lord,
amen,
so that they may find ways, Lord,
yes,
to survive there,
yes,
to survive all the sufferings.
Yes.
Grant them more than sufficient grace, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, keep them safe in your hands.
Yes.
Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, may your word still be spread over there.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, I praise you for those faithful ones.
Amen.
Continue to sustain them, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord.
Amen.
We would like to bring this subject to you, Lord.
Amen.
We would like to bring it to front of you, Lord.
Amen.
For your watchmen.
Yes.
For your powerful authority.
Right.
Lord, well be applied in those kind of regions.
Right.
Lord, that does not to be in the comforting area.
Right.
And to forgive all those brothers and sisters.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Lord, bind the enemy. Lord, pray that you remember those brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Lord, be their strength.
Amen.
Lord, be their supply.
Amen.
This week we're going to come to week two, the aspects of the Christian life and the church life seen in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And the title is, title for this week is The City and the Bride.
Amen.
Wow, amen. And the key verse is Revelation 21:2a. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Right? Actually, and the rest is prepared as a bride, right? So the city and the bride, hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'm going to be honest here. So if you open to day one, this is my experience. So I opened, I started to read. So after the outline and you look at day one, flipping though, open to day one, the first thing that caught my eye was the little reference at the bottom of the page. It's the elders training, book two, the vision of the Lord's recovery. And after, right away after seeing this, I'm like, oh Lord. It's like, I think I might be dealing with something that might be beyond my reach. So, oh Lord, may the Lord really cover me, cover my speaking. But praise the Lord. So we see the New Jerusalem is a city, right?
Amen.
It's a city. What does a city represent? Well, the city represents a sphere where authority can be exercised, right? So a city, especially in the Bible, it signifies a kind of a ruling, a kind of kingdom,
yeah.
Right? So when the New Jerusalem is a city, then we see it as like the church. is very relevant to the kingdom of God, to God's dominion, right? And usually we think, when we think of the church, we know that the church is like a dwelling place, right? It's kind of like a house. It's where the Spirit dwells. But praise the Lord, the church is also a city, right? It's a place where God can exercise His authority, right? To exercise His dominion. And so we see that this, the matter of the church and the kingdom, right, is very connected to each other, right? And if we, there's a lot of verses that talk about the church and the kingdom, right? So I guess we could read them all together. Why don't we read, it's on day one, Matthew 16, 18 to 19. Amen.
Upon this rock, I will build my church. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in the heavens, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens.
Amen. So here we kind of see that for the building up of the church, right? This building of the church, it issues from the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. So next verse is Romans 14 to 17, right? It's on next day two.
For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Wow, so the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Right? So this is the church life, right? So we see that the kingdom of God and the church life are very hand in hand, right? And even, to really get the point down, let's go to the next day, Ephesians 2:19. Amen.
So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Right? So we are members of the household of God, right? So we're in God's family, right? This is what the house is for, right? But we're also citizens, right? Usually you don't refer to members of your family as citizens, right? I don't think my parents have ever greeted me as a citizen, you know, good morning, citizen Joe. No, right? No, right? But the citizens, it denotes kingdom, right?
Yeah.
And this is where the church is, as the city, right?
Yeah.
Where God can really exercise His authority.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. Let's see. Amen. So going back to Matthew 16, 18, we see that the church is really the issue of the kingdom of the heavens, right? And if you read through the Gospels, you see that the Lord is going around proclaiming the kingdom of the heavens, all right? The gospel of the kingdom, right? So what is this kingdom of the heavens? If you look at John chapter 3, when the Lord's talking to Nicodemus, and He's telling him, Nicodemus, like, you have to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God, right? You have to be born of water and of spirit, right?
Yeah.
So what is the Lord talking about? He's talking about, you know, kind of regeneration,
yeah,
salvation, right? But normally when I think about it, you know, why do we get saved, right? It's kind of so we can get into, so God's life can enter into us,
right?
We can enter into God's life, right? We can have this eternal life.
Right.
But the Lord, if you read in John 3, He's saying that you can see, you can enter the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So you see, the kingdom of God is God's life. You know, they're the same thing, right? So the kingdom of God is the life of God, right? And if you look at, going back to Matthew 16, 18 to 19, the Lord's talking about building His church, right? And He's talking about giving His people the keys of the kingdom.
Yeah.
So we see that the building of the church, it comes from the keys of the kingdom.
Yeah.
So here we see that the church is an issue of the kingdom, or the church is a product of life,
yeah,
right? So hallelujah, this is what we're here for, right? We're here for the building up in the church.
Yeah.
But in order to build up the church, we have to, you know, kind of know how. You know, where this building up can come from. It comes from the kingdom, right? And actually in day two, it says, the reality of the kingdom of the heavens is the content of the church life.
Right.
right? So in order to build up the church life, we need to have this reality of the kingdom, right? And what is this reality, right? Well, it's just living a kingdom life, you know? What's the reality of, I mean, like if you ask, you know, Joe, what's the reality of Joe? Well, you know, it's his life, you know, his living, right? So the reality of the kingdom is the kingdom life, right? So what is the kingdom life? Right? This is scattered all throughout the days. I really enjoy this, right? It's the experiencing of the dispensing of the divine Trinity, right? Amen. Or in a practical way, you know, in day three it says, we are in the kingdom in reality only when we live and walk in spirit.
Amen.
Right? Only when we live and walk in spirit.
Amen.
And it's, you know, only when we're subject to the dominion of heaven, right? Because what is a kingdom life? You have to be subject to the kingship.
Amen.
Amen, right? So we really need to look to Christ as the head, right?
Amen.
In order to really live this kingdom life. So so going back to the point about the church as a house, right? As God's dwelling place. As God's dwelling place, we have to experience Christ as life,
Amen.
Right? So this is Christ as life. And I mean, praise the Lord, in the church life, there's abundant life. And we enjoy this life, right? And, you know, as God's dwelling place. But there's also this matter as the church, as the city, where God can exercise his authority. And in order for him to do that, we need to take him as our head, right? We need to kind of live this kingdom living, right? That way, you know, you can, right? The church is an issue from the kingdom, right? So if we're living in the reality of the kingdoms, then the church can be built up,
Amen.
Right? So praise the Lord. We really need to kind of live this kingdom life. I just end with this this hymn I enjoyed, right? I think we sang it last week, right? Oh, the children of the Lord have a wondrous song to sing, for the Lord will by his grace many sons to glory bring,
Amen.
Right? It says we are going in that day to the presence of the King. Yeah. If I remember... Amen. Sister who's not here. But she always makes a point, you know, no. I mean, I guess she got it from the winter training, but I wasn't there for the winter training, so I only, you know, I get it from her. You know, she always makes the point, no, we're living every day in the presence of the King, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, this has to be our experience, right? We have to really take the Lord as our head.
Amen.
We have to live in the presence of the King,
Amen.
Right? And that way, the church can be built up,
Amen.
You know, and the Lord can really gain what he's after.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So I guess I'll just end there and just open it up to your sharing.
Amen.
Amen. Sharing of the riches of Amen. The kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I guess while everyone's collecting the thoughts, I can share a practical experience. So this week, as most of you know, yesterday was the high school senior their graduation meeting, right? And they're kind of a little sending off. So, and for that meeting, a couple of the brothers and sisters, you know, we got together to kind of make a video. And, you know, it was a 30-minute video, and Well, let's just put it this way. It required a tremendous amount of effort. I haven't been that tired. I work myself tired, pretty nicely that there is, case in point, today I made a plan to wake up at like 7, and I went to sleep early. So, I went to sleep. I got a good 7-8 hours of sleep. And when the alarm sounded at 7, it was just like, no. snooze for another hour and a half. So, that's how tired I was.
That's a long
time. Yeah, amen. But there was a point at the when you're making this video, when it if you're not careful, it stops being so enjoyable, and it kind of becomes a little bit of a chore. So it's like, I don't know, and when it becomes a chore, I mean, because you kind of, once you get into the zone, you're really, it's like, I want to finish, it's like, I'm into it, I'm doing it, Facebook stalking pictures, you're really into it, and you just want to keep going. But at a point, there's a point where, I guess the supply kind of, especially if you're going at like 1, 2 a.m. at night, there's a point, well, for me, where the supply kind of like stopped. And it was kind of like I was doing this out of myself. And, there was just this feeling, this anointing within me that, maybe you should go to sleep, recuperate, recollect yourself, In the morning when you wake up and, after a little bit of morning revival, your Bible reading, you're in the Spirit, you can just continue. And I was like, it's like, okay, after that, you kind of like ignore the feeling for like a couple minutes. But afterwards, you really, amen, it's time to go to sleep. And, you kind of give the Lord the headship, kind of, right? This is kind of like the kingdom living. The Lord, he kind of says something to you, and you kind of take him as the head. And so, I mean, that was the day. And then the next day, we come back, we finish the video. I think a lot of the saints enjoyed it. But, from my experience, I really enjoyed it. This is like genuine building up. Forget about the video, even the process of making the video. It was a genuine building up of the church to blend with all the other brothers and sisters in this sometimes grueling process. maybe I might be putting it a little too strongly. But praise the Lord, it's just an opportunity to blend, right? To build up the church. And that just comes out of, just giving the Lord the head, taking him as our preeminent one.
Amen.
I don't know, that's just my little experience.
A small portion that I enjoyed throughout the week. Lord Jesus. So I was reading a book called Basic Lessons on Life, and so I got to the chapter on regeneration. So the focus was to be regenerated is to have the life of God, that we may be His children, living in His kingdom according to the divine nature. And so it was talking throughout it about one of the issues of us being regenerated, receiving the life of God. It's not just to have the life of God, but it's also to enter into the kingdom. And so I remember walking, I think I was just walking around the neighborhood, and I come back, and I was like, Lord, I've been saved to be brought into the kingdom, but sometimes I don't really feel like I'm, living in the kingdom. I don't feel like I'm, this isn't my reality. And I remember on day 3, it was just this paragraph. It was, although the church today is God's kingdom, we are in the kingdom in reality only when we live and walk in spirit. Whenever we behave according to the old man or live in the flesh or the self, we in a practical way are out of God's kingdom.
Right.
This means that we are in the flesh. When we are in the flesh, we are in the old realm of the fallen human nature, which has been fully usurped by Satan to form his kingdom. Therefore, a genuine Christian, if he lives in the flesh instead of in the spirit, may live in a practical way, not in the kingdom of God, but in the kingdom of Satan. Only when we live, walk, behave, and have our being altogether in our spirit,
Amen.
Not in our natural man,
Amen.
Are we in the kingdom of God, and in reality, are the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So I was, like Joe, we were working on that video throughout the week, and there were just a lot of times where I was reminded, you're in your flesh, you need to come back to your spirit.
Yeah.
You need to turn to the Lord. And there was the verse in day 3 I was very supplied by. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ
Amen.
Will be richly and bountifully supplied to you.
Amen.
So the Lord is supplying us this entrance richly
Amen.
And bountifully.
That's right.
This week I enjoyed a message. It said, Christ is not only our life, but also He is our head.
Yeah.
As life, He become our enjoyment. When we enjoy the Lord and we enthrone Him in our spirit and in our heart, I think this is from last week. When we enthrone the Lord as in our spirit and in our heart, then we will have real enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
So the Lord want to be our head means in the body of the Christ, we need to submit ourselves to this head. Let Him reign in us. Let Him be our center. So then we will live this reality of the kingdom of life. Just as Brother shared, when we walk and live in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and we will be in the reality of the kingdom.
Amen.
Without this this practice, mm-hmm. actually, we live in the church life,
Amen.
We may not in the reality
right.
of the kingdom.
Right.
So also, God wants us to grow in this divine life. Onto maturity.
Amen.
Every day we pursuing Him, we enjoy Him. There's a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to grow day by day.
Amen.
And until we really be mature, we become His corporate bride.
Amen.
To be the corporate overcomers
Amen.
For His coming back.
Amen.
And the Lord, the bride. With the bridegroom, the relationship is not really our ability. The bridegroom wants his wife to be beauty.
Amen.
To be a, it's just without the wrinkle or without the spots.
Yeah.
Right? So through our enjoyment, this will be removed every day,
Amen.
And we will be the. His, one day we will be His corporate bride when He's coming back.
Amen.
Amen.
To share a little bit, I echo with a couple of saints already shared, and especially the sister had pointed out that Christ is our life, and we enjoy this life not only individually but also corporately. And this life is just not stay there. He come into us and regenerated us and become our life. It have a particular reason because He want to be our head. And we are His body.
Amen.
And I kind of, the day one kind of remind us that we come to the Lord and we believe in the Lord, and the Lord have a purpose. Mm. That's He wants us to become His body. Mm-hmm. So this is involved the reality of God's kingdom, and just like a brother shared, that touched me a lot. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of time we do something and we caught on something, mm-hmm. and we are fully into it, and then suddenly, you know, it's just like we lost mm-hmm. what the right. purpose. Right. And then that's even as old as I am, much older than you, I sometimes experience this. Mm-hmm. So we had to be constantly reminded, we had to come back to the Lord, come back to the Spirit who is indwelling in us, amen. And then bring us back to under His headship. Amen. So we can be under the reality of the kingdom. This is had to be reminded constantly. No matter you are young or old, mm-hmm. we're all in this process.
Amen. Amen.
Day 4 talks about, it says, we must be in the body, we must be for the body, and we must be thoroughly body conscious and body centered. If we are body conscious and body centered, we shall be used by the Lord. I don't know, I was just considering, like, what does this mean, right? Like, how do we be, you know, in the body, for the body, and body conscious and body centered? Right? But it says, I enjoyed the verse for that day, Ephesians 4:13, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, you know, day by day we need to be transformed and we need to grow. It says we need to continue to grow until we are matured in the divine life to become a full grown man. So, I don't know, I just appreciated how this body is kind of what all the saints were sharing, that the body is the bride, right? But how we become, like, how we become prepared as the bride is to grow, right, to maturity. And I appreciate it. It says, the bride is a mutual dwelling place of God and man. God dwells in man and man dwells in God. So, it's nothing we do in ourselves, but if we pray and ask the Lord to make more of His home in our hearts, right, then, you know, day by day we can be more built up into the body.
Amen.
Amen.
goal of the Lord's recovery is to recover Christ, His life, and everything from us.
Amen.
So that we may be built up. Be built up with the fellow partakers of the divine life. It's the highest virtue of one who pursues Christ.
Amen.
Amen. In God's eternal economy.
Amen.
Amen.
Day one touched me a lot. I've been reading this for a long time. I didn't get it. But this helped a lot. And also a brother who was sharing about this once. It's in Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And healed every disease and every sickness. See, the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. And it was preached by the same king of the head of the Lord when he was here on the earth. And there are three gospels. The gospel of grace, which is we had to preach to the unbelievers, and the gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel of the angel will be preached at the end of the end times. And this really touched me because, see, with the gospel of the grace makes the unbelievers to be regenerated in a twinkle of an eye, as it would be there. And the gospel of the kingdom is actually the, when it says here, they're growing up, we must grow. Day two. The living that is right with both God and man and be God as our expression, our daily living. This is the kingdom of the gospel. We have to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's why we have to preach the gospel of the kingdom. It's for a growing up, for us to grow in the church life. Because sometimes we preach just the gospel of grace, that goes quick, people get saved. But the Lord really wants everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of Him. So that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning of the full salvation. We have to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus did when he was on the earth. And sometimes it's not easy because we planted the seed, right? Like I planted the seed to all my students. Basically, to all my students, I planted the seed. And I tell them, you know, get in touch, I give them the website, do this and that. But sometimes it's not easy because I can't get in touch with them. I always call me, you know, any question, call me to share, to fellowship. And the enemy is always there. But see, that's why sometimes in Christianity right now we have this problem that people are saved. A lot of brothers outside, a lot of brothers everywhere, right? They're all brothers, but the preaching of the gospel must be preached for them to really see the Lord and to grow with the church, to be in the church on the proper ground. Yeah. You know, they're all in different grounds, yes. You know, the seed falls into different ground. It grows in stony places. But we must try to always, you know, preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
It's very important that we really call us to I try to get in touch with them, you know, and it's very important that we get in touch, not only put this plant in the seed, but preach the gospel of the gospel of grace, but we must really pray. I was preaching to one of my students, and he accepted the Lord, right? And then I said, oh, I need to pray. See, I planted the seed, but I didn't pray enough for him. Come to the church life, come to the Lord. And I said, Lord, forgive me, but I should have prayed more before I start planting the seed. If you want to plant the seed in somebody and preach the gospel of grace, we must pray first. We had to pray before we planted the seed of that person or an unbeliever. Okay? And then we must pray for the Lord to really help us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is the one that brings us to the Lord and the church life together with Him. But this really touched me, that always touched me, because I didn't really see three Gospels, the couple of angels preaching again. But it's very important that we really keep preaching the Gospel of the Kingdom, so they can come to the church life, and they can really see this vision that they have seen. We have to pray. I say pray is so important before we do anything. I pray for the Lord to give my kids everything. See, I don't tell my kids really anything anymore. I used to, you know, when they're kids, I just pray to the Lord to keep them calm. And He's so good.
Wednesday, there's one prayer. It says that every morning after rising up, we need to say, actually, you know, when I read this one, I really don't enjoy it. What do you mean we need to say? Then I keep reading, and I tell myself, this is such a good prayer. When I pray, it's totally different than this way. In here, it says, Lord, thank you for a new day, for me to take you as my Lord. I subject myself under your headship for the whole day. Lord, set up your throne in my life. Set up your throne in the center of my being. Lord, bring my whole day with my daily life under your throne. And after that, there's an ABC. It says that once you pray in this way, there's a flow. Living water will flow inside of you. Then follow up, you will enjoy this water, living water. Then the next one is, once you enjoy this living water floating inside of you, you will subject yourself under the soul. This is such a good prayer.
Amen.
I don't know why I cannot pray in this way. I pray many things. Okay? I pray good prayer. I think. But in here is very simply, I don't know why after all these years I cannot do this kind of prayer. This is such a good prayer. I really enjoy that. Maybe I need to start to pray more.
Amen.
In the right way. I don't know what's right way, what's wrong way. But this way, at this moment, I feel it's great. It's much, much higher than the way I pray. I think I pray God still love. You know, that kid say something to you. To me, even it's like, I won't say nonsense, but it's a kind of a childish. Mm-hmm. As a father, I'm still very happy. At least he talked to me.
Yeah.
Pitiful. Very pitiful. But probably Father in the heaven look at me and say, what should I do to you? So but the communication is still there.
Amen.
God. And this is such a good prayer.
Amen. We tend to be self-centered. That's why we pray for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like I did that. That touched me to a lot last week. It's, you know, we pray always for ourselves. Thank you in the morning for giving me another day to live. For my kids to live, take care of them. We all self-centered, right? But we, like that prayer he's sharing, that we really have to pray for him.
Amen.
Really, for him to be expressed in our daily day.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's a wonderful prayer. And I'm doing it that way now.
Amen.
Like it,
enjoy that we have two garments. One is when we receive the Lord, we receive Him as our objective righteousness to cover us like a robe. But objectively we are justified before God, but after that we still need to live by Christ, live by Christ, so that we can enjoy Him as our subjective righteousness.
Amen.
As our second robe to Amen. Cover our daily work.
That's on one day?
Day 5 and 6. Yeah. When I read this this week's message, I don't know why I thought the kingdom of God is kind of objective for me, because I'm not so have so many experience of kingdom of God. We know church life, but the kingdom of God is the reality of church life.
Yeah.
But why? This is so new to me, so I'm not so familiar with that. Because maybe in my daily life, I'm not so much receive Christ as our subjective righteousness. And maybe in my small New Jerusalem, I need more enthrone Him. And let Him to be the king in my life.
Amen. Yeah, those are the verses I was looking for. I couldn't find when I was talking about the gospel of grace is the objective righteousness when we are saved from the beginning of the full salvation. And then the gospel of the kingdom that the Lord was preaching when He was on the earth is our subjective righteousness. Christ is the one dwelling in us, to live as the life that can be justified by God. That's that was what the Lord was preaching when He was on the earth. Okay, that's what the verses I was looking at.
I think that's, I didn't get the opportunity to really read this week, but something I enjoyed from just previewing what brothers and sisters said was actually two lines, is that although the church life today is although the church today is God's kingdom, we are in the kingdom in reality only when we live and walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
And that the proper church life is a realm, a sphere where God may exercise His authority. I just remember when some of the brothers and sisters, every time when we make mention that we call on the Lord as Lord Jesus, there's a denotation of we're putting Him as the authority. And this week, I had a really rough / interesting experience of, I guess, that even in every situation, everything that we're about to do, there needs to be this realization that we have to put the Lord as the authority. And actually, I actually really enjoy this one hymn. It's Galatians 2:20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." There are many times I sing this hymn, but one thing that really touched me this week was that I came to the realization that there is this one who's living inside of me, the one who actually has the authority living inside of me. But when we don't subject to His authority, actually, I just really was touched that we just need to always be subject to His authority. Actually, even offering the Lord the headship. Because only then are we really in the kingdom of reality. I just really enjoyed that. You know, it's always good in every situation, everything we're about to do, really just to give the Lord the headship, even if it's a rough situation, even if it's a good situation. Always to give the Lord the place that he deserves, the kingship, the headship.
I'd just like to follow up with that. So on day four, I was looking at the verses. So there's Ephesians 4:13 or Revelation 19:7. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and Revelation 19:7 says, let us rejoice and exalt, and let us give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. So this week is about the city and the bride. So we can see that, you know, in Revelation 19, the bride is ready, and then in Ephesians, it's saying that we may come to know the full knowledge of the Son of God. And then in the reading on day four, it talks about the New Jerusalem, or the church, being the body of Christ. And then I saw the picture that, you know, it's talking about coming to the fullness, right? I'll just read from it. Rather, it is an organism with a measure of the stature of its fullness and its breadth, length, height, and depth. So we have to come to this. The church needs to come to this fullness, right? It needs to fill out like the body, right? Where it has to grow to be fully matured as the body of Christ. So in an analogy, you see like a human body. Someone might be, you know, when you're 18, you might be really skinny, but you have the frame of a man. And as you grow older and older, you fill out that body, right? And that's, as a picture, you see that's coming to the fullness of, right, the reality of the man. And then, you know, each one of us is a member of Christ, right? So if you think of it as a picture like this, as a body being filled out, if the right arm gets filled out, the left one doesn't, it's not complete. It also looks disproportional, right? And then in the end, you see in Revelation, it's complete, right? So we know that at the end, once the body is full, like, it's filled, right? The full body is at its fullness, right? You know, Christ is really being expressed through His members. Then there's the marriage of the Lamb, right? Then the bride is ready. And then just a follow-up from Joe, right? Christ is inside of us, and He wants to become the fullness of our body, right? He wants to spread Himself into every part of our body, amen, right? He wants to spread from the spirit to the soul to our body, right? Our human body, right? He wants to spread Himself into all these parts. And as a realization, you know, this is us coming to know the full knowledge of the Son of God, right? And then by allowing Christ to spread Himself into our whole body, right? We as the church are being built up into the fullness of the body of Christ. Amen. And then, you know, then the church is ready. The church is ready to be married to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad you shared this verse because I always puzzle and have a question about this verse because it says, until we all arrive. So I always question, how could, for example, like, what's your brother name?
My brother, friend.
Yes. How friend and I, we could arrive at the same time. Not at the same time, like arrive at the, it's, this means like everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you see the new counting sixth grade in this table, I look at them and say, how he, them, and I can arrive at this verse. This verse always puzzled me because I thought that we all have different different time, right? We all have our different time of arriving at. And it says that we all have to arrive. So I always thinking, I always ask the Lord that, does that mean I would never see it happen in the day of my life? But then the revolution does give us the promise that the city will be built. Mm-hmm. And we will be all building up. So I always really puzzle, like how we can make this become a reality, or we can see at the time when we still living in this world. It's not like I don't have faith, but I always has a puzzle that, Lord, how we can arrive, all of us, at this verse. Then I got comfort by the Lord is, don't worry, He is the Lord. He knows what He wants. He knows how we all can build up. It's up to Him. And what we need to do is just faithfully, day by day, coming to Him, living His word, nourished by His word, and it's up to Him how this verse will become reality in the body.
Amen.
Otherwise, you will be either not believing this verse, or you worry too much that how we going to build up. Mm-hmm. Right? So I was like, this word is really deep, like so deep that sometimes it's hard to believe into it. But if you really pray in a way that get into His heart, you will know that this word is just assure us He is God. He is the Lord. Because by our human nature, we would never arrive at this word. All this, like full knowledge, the full grown man. Because look at our life, we fail. And I just have a big fight. And it's not like, I can overcome it, and I still question myself, why I have such faith. But, the minute I criticize myself, the comfort comes in from the Lord. It's like, forget about your value, hands up, press on, keep on pressing on, keep on reading, keep on praying.
Amen.
All you need to do is just keep on doing it.
Amen.
Don't let yourself doubt yourself. Don't use yourself doubt the Bible, body. Don't let yourself doubt that the Word is saying. You just keep on reading. And that the word saturate our whole being.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't think I ever realized that the Bible first presents the kingdom and then presents the church. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 4:23, it talks about Jesus proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And then it wasn't until Matthew chapter 16 that He speaks about the church.
Right.
And so we see there actually that it's the presence of the kingdom which produces the church. And so I don't think I ever thought about it in that way. Actually, it's the living of the kingdom life that produces the church life. It's not the other way around, right? So that's the first thing. And the second thing I appreciated, this is just straight from the outline, is actually the kingdom of God is the life of God, right? And I remember hearing this for the first time in a training, the plant kingdom, the plants, they have a life, a certain life. That's the plant life, right? So if you're a plant and you have the plant life, you're in the plant kingdom. If you're an animal, you have the animal life, you're in the animal kingdom. We have God's life, so therefore we're in the kingdom of God, right? So when we were regenerated, automatically we were in the kingdom. I don't know why, I just, it's so striking, because that means we're all in the kingdom of God. It's not just a matter of life, but as soon as you have the life, you're in the kingdom, right? And so that implies something, which is that there is a king, right? Where we have the life of God, and so that means we have a king. So I just appreciated, you know, it's a matter that it's interrelated, life and authority, image and dominion, that you can't separate the two, you know. So in, I don't know if this makes sense to you all, but in 2 Peter 1:11 it says, "For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly and bountifully supplied to you."
Amen.
And so if you actually read a little bit earlier in chapter 1, it actually talks about us, we have exceedingly great promises given to us, right? And therefore we're partakers of the divine nature. So actually, and then it goes on and on and it says, "For in this way then the entrance of the kingdom will be richly and bountifully supplied to you." So I just actually appreciated, you know, on one hand, this kingdom, actually when we talk about the kingdom, it kind of scares me because I'm like, I don't live a life that matches the standard of the kingdom. But on the other hand, I appreciate it, you know. We have precious and exceedingly great promises given to us. You know, we are partakers of the divine nature. So actually, as we're eating, you know, the Lord, you know, and we're partaking of His divine nature, the entrance of the kingdom is being richly and bountifully supplied to us, right? And then actually, so as we're living this kingdom life, the issue of that is the church life, is the building, you know, and that's exactly what God is after. He's after the building, right? And that comes from, you know, anyways. One more verse that I appreciated, Romans 14:17. "Kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
And actually, I just appreciated the order of those three words. It's first righteousness, and that means we have to be right before God, before man, to all things. And, you know, sometimes it's like really small things, like pushing my chair back in after I, you know, like sometimes it's just like the smallest things. We just have to be right, you know, like maybe the door slammed accidentally, you know, like anyways, all things, right? We're learning to be right before God, before man, towards all things, and that issues in peace before God, toward gods, and toward God and toward man, and in joy, right? So, Lord Jesus, praise you, Lord. Today we're just learning to live the kingdom life, taking the Lord as our head, you know, learning to be right. Actually, the only person who's right is the Lord Jesus. He's the one in our spirit. Day by day we lay hold of Him, you know, and that issues in the church life, which is the building up, right, of the body. So, amen.
I'd like to follow my sister. As I was reading this outline, I was really touched with this matter. Actually, you see it throughout the outline, and you see it throughout the book of Ephesians and Colossians. You see this matter that life is not apart from this matter of the kingdom and the authority. And even if you see in like Colossians 2:19, it says, "Not holding the head, out from whom all the body being richly supplied," right? And being built up, right? So you see, actually, we always talk about how we want to enjoy the Lord as our life, enjoy Him as our supply. But actually, this one who is our life and our enjoyment is also the one who is sitting on the throne. And I was reminded of these two verses, Hebrews 4:16, which is the throne of grace, right? And in Revelations 22:1, it says, There's a river of water of life proceeding out from the throne of God. So actually, the more we enjoy this life, the more this life will bring us to the throne.
Amen.
And actually, the more that we are under this throne, under this ruling, the more we can enjoy this life. Right. And I think if we check in our experience, we can really testify to that. Actually, whenever we enjoy the Lord will then bring us to touch a matter in our being, maybe this matter or that matter. And then if we say no, I believe in our experience, we can sense the flow stops, right? But actually, once we say amen to the Lord, then there's actually a richer flow in our being. So, anyway, I was just appreciating this matter that life and the kingdom are not separate from each other. Actually, this life that we enjoy is bringing us into the kingdom life, into the reality of the kingdom life. And as I was considering this, especially because I was thinking, well, Lord, I'd like to enjoy you as my life, but I really don't like this aspect of the kingdom. It's just not something that I enjoy. And I was touched to see, yes, on one hand, God, our need is met by Christ being our life, but actually, God's need is met by Him gaining the kingdom, and the two are not apart from each other. And I was reminded in Genesis 1:26, actually from the very beginning, God told man he needed an expression and he needed dominion. And we see these two aspects are carried out in life and the kingdom. I don't know, and then I was reminded again, I was rereading Brother Watchman Nee's his book on God's plan and God's rest. And I was just touched again to see, actually, you know, this matter of the kingdom, this matter of the church life, actually, I think he mentioned at one point, like, why doesn't the church have the authority today? Like, why doesn't she have the a means to bind and to loose? It's because there's this matter behind the scenes where actually maybe we're not allowing the Lord to gain ground in our being. Maybe actually the kingdom has not really come in our being in certain aspects and certain ways. So anyway, I just like to read an excerpt. He says, in the matter of the kingdom, the matter of dominion is not merely just like I would have dominion, but that God needs dominion over his enemy, right? But he will not exact this dominion, this ruling on this earth without man's cooperation. And it says in the outline, actually, when the kingdom of the heavens is able to assert its authority over a company of believers. So actually, the Lord needs to gain a group of people first who will allow the kingdom to come in them before his kingdom will come in an outward way. So this excerpt is, this is not a matter of a message or a teaching. This requires our practice, and the price is extremely great. If we are to be men whom God will use to overthrow all of Satan's work and authority, we must obey the Lord completely and absolutely. In doing other work, it matters less if we preserve ourselves a little. But when dealing with Satan, we cannot leave one bit of ground for ourselves. So anyway, he says, may God open our eyes to see that his purpose demands that we be wholly and absolutely for him. So anyway, in the end, thank the Lord we have another day. Thank the Lord we have another week that we can practice cooperate with him. Amen. We can enjoy him as our life, and the Lord would gain the reality of the kingdom. And I think in the end, actually, the more we are practicing, actually, the richer our enjoyment will be of the church life and the reality.
Amen.
Praise
God. The Lord wanted to share. See, in Ephesians 4:13, day 2, day 4, when it says, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith, and of the full knowledge of the Son of God. Actually, this until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith is John 3:16. It's referring to John 3:16, when it says, the God loves the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. For whoever believes in him will not perish, but have this eternal life, soul life, divine life. See? The Lord actually here, like the sister was saying, why we don't have authority. See, the Lord died for all of us. It's not partial, right? He died for all of us. Doesn't matter where we are, right? So he arrived for all of us. But the problem here is this. The problem here is this. There's no oneness. There's no oneness because, you know, because of the second part. And of the full knowledge of the Son. So right now in Christianity, that's where the problem we have. See, they all saved by faith. We were justified by the Lord on the cross. This is what Matthew is saying. But we must all come to the full, to the oneness of the faith. This is what happened. The Lord died for everybody. And he wants, whoever believes, he wants, you know, to be saved and to receive the divine life. But the problem right now in Christianity is this. Everybody's getting saved, and they actually believe in the Lord. They do believe in the Lord. I have a lot of brothers come to my store. They do believe in the Lord. But they don't have the second part. Why? Because it became, everything has become a Mormon church. Right? One, somebody tell me what the Bible said. It's not, we have a very rich ministry here. We have a very rich ministry. But I see it, I've been in all denominations, Baptist, Presbyterian. So this is what's happening right now. This is Matthew, but the first verse referring to 3:16. That Lord died for everybody. For everybody. And he wants everybody to come to the oneness of the faith. But the problem, they can't come to the oneness of the faith. I mean, they all believe in Jesus, but the problem is the knowledge of the full Son of God, full grown men at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the gospel of the kingdom. That's the problem.
Amen.
And that's why we have seen the vision. We have to pray for them. We must pray for them. I pray for all my brothers outside of this ministry. Right? There are some ministries. I've been in some churches, non-denominations, but there are some non-denominations. The brothers already knew the denomination, but there are some non-denominations that they call us non-denominations. We are non-denominations. Right? That's what they call it, but we have to pray for them. We must pray for them so they can come to the full knowledge of the Son of God.
Amen.
So they can get to the statue of the Christ, which is the gospel of the kingdom. I just want to clarify this.
Amen.
Well, I think this week, the matter of the city and the bride, it's all taken from one verse in Revelation, when John said, "I saw the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." So I would say the Bible is very balanced, because when we come to the matter of the city, we're dealing with God's kingdom, God's authority, God's righteousness. It's kind of, like Joe mentioned, kind of heavy. No one wants to be ruled over. We all have a rebellious element within us. But I appreciate it. Actually, with God, He doesn't beat on us with a rod of authority. Rather, He gains His kingdom through life. Just like in John 3, as was mentioned, you know, through regeneration, actually, we are regenerated to become part of this kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's not that, you know, for these sixth graders, they just got saved and baptized. It's not, regeneration is not so that we just merely enter into the church life. But actually, it's so that we can be born into this kingdom.
Amen.
And we could grow in this kingdom.
Amen.
And that one day, there would be the manifestation of this kingdom. And so this is all a matter of life. I appreciate it to see this week, you know, the church life is just a vehicle. It's the means. Because in the next age, actually, it's not the church, it's the kingdom, right? The church age will be no more, and God will establish His kingdom on this earth. And so today, we're just learning how to become the kings, the co-kings, right, in the next age. And what touched me, actually, you know, in Matthew 25, in the parable of faithfulness, you know, when the master responds to the slaves, right, it so really touched me. You know what he said? He said, you know, "You are just faithful over a few things. I found you faithful over just a few things, and I will set you over many things." Right? You know, in the next age, we'll be co-kings. There will be many things to be taken care of. But in this age, actually, the Lord just wants us to be faithful over a few things. If we could just be faithful over a few things, then the Lord is happy. He's not expecting much, right? But just a few things. So what are those few things? It could just be 5 minutes with the Lord in the morning. You know, that's all you have. Just 5 minutes. I did some calculation. If you sleep 8 hours a day, and then you look at your hours that you're awake, you know, five minutes, you know what that comes out to in proportion? Perry, do you know? That's less than 1%. That's 0.5%. Do you have 0.5%? Brian, do you have can you spend half a percent of your waking hours just with the Lord? Is that asking for too much?
No.
Is that like something impossible? You know, in the overcomer, one of the attributes of the overcomer in Revelation is that you have a little power. You're just a little power. You just exercise a little power. Just a few things. Just be faithful over a few things.
Amen.
The Lord has placed so many around us, younger ones, older ones. Can we just be faithful to shepherd? Is it asking too much? One other brother, Joe, is it too much?
No.
I don't think so. If we're honest before the Lord, we have to admit, it's not too much. Just a few things, right? And this is the way, by life, that we can grow and mature. You know, if we can't be faithful in this age, there's no way. The Lord can't count on us in the next age. If we are so occupied by our devices, you know, this was brought up in a fellowship on Saturday. There's some concern, right, that the saints in the church life, you know, we're distracted, where we're checking emails, we're sending texts in the meetings. Maybe we need to make an announcement. Okay, we ban all electronics. It's so outward. This is something outward. Rules concerning this would be very outward. But the reality is the kingdom. Is the king living inside of you? Is there a throne within you? Is there a feeling that rises up in your being? Well, you know, it's the Lord's table. Maybe I shouldn't be on Facebook. Is there a certain feeling? Are we governed by a king? Can the Lord establish His kingdom among us? We're not in summer school of truth. For the young people, we tell them, no, you're not allowed to bring iPads or phones. Right, Amy and Mary? Yeah, we told you guys last year. But this year, you're TAs. We're not going to give you that rule. To them, we give them rules. But for us, saints, brothers and sisters, we need to grow in life.
Amen.
So that the Lord can have a way. So that His kingdom can be brought onto the earth.
Amen.
In this age.
Amen.
Right? Okay, so this is the matter of the kingdom. But then there's something so sweet. There's something so lovely. We're also being prepared as a bride.
Amen.
But you know, again, this is a matter of life. Right? You know, on that wedding day, you know, whenever you go to a wedding, you have the bridegroom and the bride. With the bridegroom, the bride is not some 10-year-old girl. No, that would be weird and very abnormal, right? No, but she's mature. She's prepared. She's adorned, right? And with the matter of the bride, you know, I just, you know, also along the lines of, you know, what we were preparing for the brothers and sisters who graduated high school, these verses in 2 Peter really touched me. You know, there Peter talks about the day of the Lord, right? And actually, that the Lord does not delay regarding the promise. He does not delay. You know, some think that, oh, the Lord is delaying. Actually, the Lord is not delaying. It's us. We're delaying. Right? We're delaying the Lord. But He is long-suffering towards us. You know, the Lord is waiting as the bridegroom. And, you know, when I speak about this, I think of, you know, my own wedding day. Where, you know, you're there waiting. You're just waiting. And how would you feel? How would you feel if, you know, Brian, you're, you know, one day you want to get married, right?
Yeah.
That'd be nice, right?
Yeah.
How would you feel, right? You know, you court, you date, you get to know the person, and then, okay, you propose, and she says yes, and you're so happy, right? Now.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, how about June 15th, 2000, whatever, right? And then your fiancé is like, oh, I don't know, how about we wait for next year? And then next year comes, and then you ask again, well, maybe we should set a wedding day. And you're like, and then she's like, no, you know, I'm just not ready. Maybe. How would that make you feel?
A little sad.
Yeah. A little more than sad. Right? a little sad. Poor Jesus. These verses really touch me, saints. That we can not just know about his coming, that we can expect his coming, and even more, we can hasten his coming. And again, it's not asking for much. Maybe it's just 5 minutes. Right, Perry? I'm so burdened for this matter. If we could just spend 5 minutes with our lovely bridegroom in the morning, don't you think that would speed things up a little bit? What do you think, Perry? You have 5 minutes? Okay, maybe it's really hard for you in the morning. Actually, school's out already, right? Okay, no excuse. No excuse. You have 5 minutes. All of us, we have a little time with the Lord. And if we could spend just some time to know this person, allow this life to transfuse, infuse, I believe we can hasten the coming day of our Lord. Right? We can bring ourselves closer to that wedding day. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's not let the Lord wait any longer than he has to. Right? We are his bride. As a city and a bride, let's give ourselves
Amen.
To love the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for another week.
Yes.
Right? That we could get to know the Lord
Amen.
More
Amen.
In this loving relationship
Amen.
And to prepare ourselves for that wedding day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, just give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, pray, oh, Lord, you make more of your home in our hearts this week.
Amen.
Lord, we would see more of your kingdom.
Amen.
Lord, your church.
Amen.
Lord, oh, Lord, grow in us each day.
Amen.
Lord,
we
want to spend more time with you. Amen. Lord, we want to be those who hasten your return.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want to hinder you in any way.
Amen.
Lord, we don't just want to know about your return.
That's wrong.
Or expect your return.
Amen.
Lord, we want to hasten your return.
Amen.
Lord, oh, Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, Jesus, help us to be your bride.
Amen.
We want to be your bride ready, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, help all the other brothers to come to the oneness of the faith.
Amen.
Oh, so we can all see you together.
Amen.
Lord. Oh, have mercy on us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, we love you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Lord
Jesus.
Right.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for another week.
Amen.
Oh, to grow in life.
Amen.
Oh, to experience the reality of the kingdom.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you that we have a little power.
Amen.
Oh, even strengthen us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, to spend a little time.
Amen.
To get to know you.
Amen.
Oh, establish your kingdom, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Walking our daily life.
Amen. Amen.
Spirit and heart.
Amen.
Let your life move in us.
Amen.
The water, the river of water of life.
Amen.
Washing away all our wrinkles and spots.
Amen.
Let us be ready for your coming back.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We just thank you for the kingdom life.
Amen.
You just let us mature in this divine life.
Amen.
We can be prepared, Lord.
Amen.
As the bride, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We love you so much.
Amen.
We just want to hasten your coming.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. This week to cooperate with you.
That's right.
To live in view of your coming.
Amen.
To live in view of you gaining your city.
Amen.
Gaining your counterpart.
Amen.
Each day we like to open to you.
Amen.
Remind us, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, just give ourselves to practice.
Amen.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord, I thank you.
give ourselves to practice.
Amen.
We have a little power.
Amen.
I'd just like to, Lord, cooperate with you.
Amen.
Lord, give you this next week.
Amen.
Even, Lord, gain more of your kingdom.
Amen.
In our living.
That's right.
Lord, just to, be one with you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
So the sheets for the video training are still here.